This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Whakalofa atu to our New Wayan listeners and welcome to everyone to Tunisian Footy, your favourite zone for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my usual Cook Island Koi, Tinida Arona T. It's great to have you back, mate. Missed you on Monday.
Kia ora, mate. Mate, let's address the issue right now.
Whoa. Don't come in here heavy. What's going on here?
You are not getting a half a point on Tunisian knowledge for saying Jamal Isako. It's Jermaine Isako, mate.
Mate, you're not here on Monday. You know what? I want to take that back. I did not miss you. Where's Will?
Come on, Will. And if anyone's going to take this mic on Monday, I expect better questions than them ones, mate.
Oh,
and you only got, what, one and a half points. As well?
Yeah, so relax, T. Let's get into what have we got today?
Mate, plenty of rugby league. NRLW started last night. We'll be catching up with Sala Tonga Tuki, our NRLW star. She'll be covering all the rugby league. And we have Totai Kefu, who will be covering all our rugby union news. Olympic Sevens, Pacific teams are playing as well. International games happening. So there is a lot happening across both rugby union and rugby league world. Sammy?
Hi, I'm Yasmin Clydesdale, and you're listening to Tunisian Footy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There's plenty happening. And as always, wrapping up the week with the news, we have some rugby league news with you, T.
Yep.
We'll kick it off.
Well, speaking of Yasmin Clydesdale, she absolutely killed it last night for the Newcastle Knights.
She is a weapon, isn't she?
Mate, like, she's
dead
a beast.
Set, looking for carries, post meters, contact meters, outstanding.
Comes off her edge, looks for that tough carry, and just seems to make a tough carry look easy. So great work to Yasmin and also the Knights, who won their first round in NRLW, beating the Roosters 12-10. And another quick shout-out to Abigail Roach. She is the sister of Nathaniel Roach, who played in the NRL for the Warriors, and she's scored a great try for the Newcastle Knights.
12 metres out, last tackle, Newcastle. Play to Maynard, short side left to Tamika Upton. She throws it, a late pass, which is a pearler, away to Abigail Roach, and the Knights left centres in for their second try. Beautiful ball by Upton. 8 minutes left in the first half. Newcastle 10, Sydney Roosters 0, and the Premiers have a kick to come, John Gibb.
Now, I mentioned Yasmin. She ran for 190 metres and made 27 tackles, and that is 10 wins in a row for Newcastle Knights in the NRLW. It was also announced that the 2026 Rugby League World Cup will be in Australia.
And PNG.
And PNG, you know, with the stadiums and all the logistics with that Rugby World Cup. But it's good to have the games here in Australia and also PNG. What do you reckon? We'll get to a few games?
Over in PNG? Surely have to. If we can't get to Vegas, get us to PNG for the World Cup.
We'll get to Vegas, mate, even if I have to pay my own way. In other news, Kayo Iro, who we've had here on Tunisian Footy, my Cook Island prince, he signed a 2-year extension at the Cronulla Sharks. So congratulations to Kayo and the Iro family. And also Stefano Doikamanu has been offered a deal from Storm and the Bulldogs to and also, that I know the Tigers still want him, so it'll be interesting to see whether he takes up them offers or he stays at the Tigers then with Jerome Luai and Tito Sonia Turuva, who are going to the Tigers next year from Penrith Panthers. And we're going into NRL Round 1. I'm going to do a quick preview because we want Salah to talk about all the NRLW news as well. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys versus the Sharks this weekend. The Cowboys sitting at 8th place on the ladder and the Sharks sitting at 3rd. Now, Cowboys are on 24 points, Sharks are on 28. So from, 4th place, you've got Roosters at 26. And then from 6th to 9th, you've got all them teams on 24 points.
It's quite so jammed there, isn't it?
So it's quite a important match for both teams. If Sharks lose this, they're in that pack where, you know, one win can jump or one loss can, you'll jump down a few places. And Cowboys, they just need a win to keep staying in that pack as well.
No Nico Hines, can they do it without him? The Sharkies, you think they've got the players?
Yep, no Nico Hines. They've also got no Will Kennedy out the back. They've got a new fullback that will making his that will be making his debut. Both teams also coming off some good wins. Cowboys beating the Bulldogs last week, and the Sharkies absolutely smashing the West Tigers. But a couple key matchups I'm looking forward to watching. Jason Domololo for the Cowboys versus our man Royce Hunt for the Sharkies. Imagine those two big balls just going at it. And then on the edges, we see Valentine Holmes on the left side for the Cowboys going up against Tongan Sione Katoa on the right. So let's, be interesting to see who scores the most tries out of them two and if there are any interesting try celebrations to finish off Try July. And remember, you can hear every NRL game, including State of Origin, live on ABC Radio Australia. Sammy, let's head over to Rugby Union News.
The Sevens T, the Olympics, it's been outstanding with the results with our Nijin representatives, Samoa, Fiji, in those games. And we saw Samoa lost their first two pool matches going down to Australia 21-14 and then Argentina 28-12. Samoa looked dangerous in that first game against Australia. It was 7-0 at half time. They got a nice little intercept, but it was actually a Samoan for Australia that did pretty well to sort of break that open a little bit more for Australia to win. Dietrich Roach played out there on the wing. And we also saw Mark Nwanganitawase get a minute or so at the back end. So Australia have done pretty well in their pool stages. But last night against Kenya, Samoa won 26-0. They also beat Japan 42-7. And they'll play for Kenya in the ninth spot playoff there. Fiji, they haven't had the best of tournaments leading into the Olympics. You know, in terms of a World Series campaign, they've definitely underperformed. I'm pretty sure they didn't even win any of the titles there leading into that.
But they're back.
They are back. And when they're in a mood to defend and press up hard in the game of sevens and put shots on, they mean business. And some of the tries that they've scored so far, unbelievable, coast to coast. You talk about the offloads that they get. Like, we've seen Fiji and Flair. We know that the strength of the Fijians is playing on their feet. But some of the offloads as they go into ground, you know, to release that ball, if that was me releasing the ball and someone's in that passing lane, I would have released it and they've got, oh, I shouldn't have passed it. Hold on, you know, go the next phase. They're able to recognize that, sort of not let it go, and then flick pass it around the back to the support runner.
To the other guy.
So there's just, like, you just go, how are they doing it? And then when those passes stick, and as I mentioned, with their defensive efforts, they mean business. So they have not lost an Olympic match.
Ever. Oh, wow.
So they are undefeated in the Olympics. So they've been outstanding. So their first game against Uruguay, they won 40-12. Then they went to beat USA 38-12. And then they won a close one against France. It was 19-12 in that one. And then against Ireland in the quarters, another tight one. They won 19-15 and they'll face Australia in the semi-final.
Damn. So they played four games. Conceded not too many points.
Nah, so defensively they're going well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on average, I think there's about 21 points always scored for each team in a game of sevens. So they're keeping a lot of those teams under that 21-point margin and looking forward to seeing how they go. If they get to that gold medal stage to win three gold medals in a row at the Olympics, Celestino Ravutamanda, Yosefo Masi from the Drua, combination combined well for a couple of good tries. And it's just interesting, the train of thought, you know, with Australia, they've got Mark Nwanganitawase. They're probably only using him for 1 or 2 minutes because they're saying, like, the loading coming from 15 aside, they don't want him to risk any injuries. Fiji, different train of thought. Celestino comes from 15 aside, hasn't really got a sevens background, straight in there starting every single game.
Yeah, but the Fijian Drua play a similar style to the sevens, whereas the
that's very Warriors, true. As
the Warriors
yes.
ain't playing anything like the Australian Sevens team, so I understand why they would be keeping those boys on the Fijian Sevens team.
Yeah, you're not wrong. See, and in the other semi-final, we've got South Africa, France. So the host nations will play against South Africa, and then Australia versus Fiji to see who advances to the gold medal game.
No, New Zealand.
New Zealand knocked out.
Damn, I remember.
That's
growing,
an upset.
I remember growing up in New Zealand was the Sevens team. You know, it's them and Fiji always. Doing well.
Always doing well, and they did well in the World Series. Also, Argentina, they were World Series champions.
Yes,
they were knocked out. So it's a really, really competitive game, the Sevens game. So out of that top eight, any of one of those eight teams could win a gold medal. But that we'll soon find out the winner come. You know, the next couple of days. So that would be good for that one. Yeah, the women's sevens starting on Monday. Fiji, that's the Nijin representatives in the women's game. Hopefully, there's the same atmosphere. We see the same Fijian flair for that game. 69,000 people at every single game, every single day for the sevens tournament. It's just such a great product to watch for the fans to get involved. So hopefully they go well, and we'll preview more of that when they get underway. Here's the biggest news. T, you would have seen this one, surely. I know you don't really listen to rugby union news or follow it very well, but what's been the biggest story? Surely you've seen it.
Tana Umanga going Panthers? No.
Mate.
The Artie Sevilla, mate.
Artie.
Everyone is talking about it. Even rugby league Nijin players are speaking about Artie making the move to Moana and how inspirational that his move and the way that he speaks about it has been. So, Artie, mate, you are one legend.
He is. And you know what I love about it? I don't think I've seen news and attention around one player for such a very, very long time. Like when I think of some of the players, maybe
Sonny Bill
when he first crossed over.
Jonah Lomu.
Definitely in the same breath. And like even Israel Folau when he first left league. Like the attention around one player, but the difference between those players and Artie, like he's a very good player, but in terms of size wise, he's not a big body.
No, yeah,
you know he's not a flashy winger that's scoring heaps of tries. It's a lot of grunt work that he gets through.
He's made his name off effort on effort, hard work, doing the dirty stuff.
Absolutely,
putting your head in positions
between the spokes,
where people
yeah.
don't want
dark
to put their
places.
Heads. Yeah,
yeah. So that's it. He's made a name from doing that and representing his Samoan culture every single time we see. He was like one of the first I saw do, the press conference after the game in Samoan. So he's just the community are right behind someone like Artie, and we even saw with his press conference when he came back from San Diego that the people that he let into the press conference to give him the first opportunity had to be of Pacifica heritage. So wanted to make sure that he gave all his the Pacifica people an opportunity to hear from him first, to know why he left the Hurricanes to join Moana Pacifica. And it was all around his Samoan culture, his grandparents, his parents making those sacrifices.
Was your email down that day?
Yeah, I don't know how we didn't get the memo.
Get the invite, eh?
Yeah.
Must have been the blue screen day.
No, nah, yeah. No, we'll get him. We'll get him for. Oh, it was Microsoft was down. No, we'll get him for when he first puts on that jersey. We'll get him for that one just to ask him how it felt. You know, his jersey presentation. That's where we do our best.
A milestone
work too.
Moment for Nijin footy is when we get Artie on.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do our best. So, T, that is our rugby union news. Plenty of happening. Looking forward to the weekend's result to then review on Monday.
Yeah, there's plenty more chat to come with Totai Kefu, but let's head over to our first guest, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we have our Fetu Samoa, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, kicking us off with all things rugby league. Sala, let's start with last night's round one NRLW. First game, Knights versus Roosters. What did you think?
It was such a hard grind. Like, they were grinding for a long time. And then obviously the Roosters girls broke. And then you saw what the Knights did. They just sort of found their way through to their try line. But pretty resilient for the Roosters girls to come back in that second half and just Yeah, they sort of caught that. They nearly leveled it, and could have leveled it, but just unfortunately, the goal kick sort of just got them falling short. But I was, I just feel like the Roosters didn't play the style of footy that they normally would play, and you could just see that their middles weren't punching, like knocking the front door down. They were just shifting the ball so early, like that's just not the Roosters' DNA. And yeah, I was really proud of the Knights. Just gotta give props to their efforts on the try line, D. They literally were denying the Roosters, and the Roosters looked frustrated so many times. They tried everything. Even Taryn Aiken, like someone of her caliber, she was struggling, and she had to literally resort just to her kicking game, and that's what got them through to the try line, was just, you know, chip and chase or even a kick over the Knights players. But yeah, that's something they need to go back to, is what they normally do really well.
But what did you make of the Knights' defence? And, you know, when the Roosters did make their breaks, or, you know, off that first try where it was off a chip kick, regather, offload, Knights were still finding a way to scramble and get themselves in the frame. What did you make of the Knights' defensive system?
Honestly, I know that they've been working a lot on it in their preseason. So we were fortunate enough during that Newcastle game when we were in camp for Origin, and we happened to train at their facilities same time as the NRW girls were training. And that night they were literally just going at one another, looked like more than 100%, but there was more. I spoke with their well-being person, and he was just saying that it's just all literally all defense, like, that night. And I looked at him, I'm just like, what the hell? Like, they look like really sore. Like, I felt really sore just watching it, and just seeing what they've done last night. You know, we all say hard work is, you know, pays off, and they were rewarded with that by coming away with the 2 points. But that's gutsy effort. It's not easy. Back-to-back sets, even defending on that try line. And it's hard because it's like, you know, you're just there, but it's that 1% of just coming off the line as well. And that's what we all try and pride ourselves on in our defence game, is shooting off the line as much as you can, obviously staying square and just, you know, connecting with your teammates and that. But obviously it takes one person a crack for that defence line to collapse. And I guess Taryn Aiken found she was smart in IDing that they were all up, and hence why she did that kick, which got right behind them. And sometimes you're smart to do those kind of kicks when you see the fullbacks in line as well. That's just your typical Taryn Aiken you're going to get. And it doesn't help that she's played with her own teammate, her Origin teammate, Tamika Upton. So it's nice always seeing when them two are going head-to-head with their respective teams, because we see what they're like when they're combined in the Origin arena. They're just lethal and unstoppable. So, yeah, props to, again, what we said, just props to the Newcastle Knights and how they defended, held themselves really well. But, yeah, Roosters weren't far off from coming back and, you know, getting that game for themselves. So, you know, it's not all too bad how they went. Going back to the drawing board, I know there's a lot of positives for them, and it's just the first game of the season. So it's still anyone's game.
Just on that as well, you mentioned that Aaliyah Nasir debut. Seems like she's, you know, been waiting for such a long time to inject herself into NRLW because of her age. And I thought she was outstanding as well. Another one from the Knights, Yasmin Clydesdale. You've played with her at Origin level. Like, she was outstanding. And we mentioned her earlier in the show,
always.
Just the way, you know, her footwork before the line. She's looking busy to get into those tough carries in the middle. Watching her play last night,
190 metres, 27 tackles. And remember, they only play 35-minute halves as well.
Yeah, she played out there. And she was filthy at the end of the game too, way they finished. So in terms of, like, her competitiveness, you know, the way she plays and the way she wants to win, like, what did you make of her round one performance?
You can expect that from Yazzie. Any game, any given jersey she gets to put on. She's just that person that puts her hand up for those tough carries as well. She's very fit, so resilient. And, like, she's honestly, when you're around her, she's just got so much energy in her that it just gets you sort of pumped as well. And the Knights are so lucky to have Yazzie. She'll put her hand up and just take those tough carries. But it's also her 1% of efforts. You will see her all the time when she's at marker and it's the last, and the halves are, her opposing half is about to kick. guarantee you, keep an eye on the next game. She will always be the one to be chasing out and putting pressure on that kicker. It's little things like that that make Yazzie what she is. And like the similar stats you've just given, that's the, you know, it's not far off from her stats in the Origin. Or in the Origin, she got player of the match for that. And that's, yeah, props to Yazzie. She just keeps working hard, never stops. But even her face at the end, I saw that too.
Yeah, she was filthy, wasn't she?
Yeah. And
people are celebrating, but she was angry. Yeah.
She's filthy at the team's effort. Like, she knew that they were dominating Roosters, especially to go into halftime with 10 nils their way. Like, surely that didn't, I couldn't just hear her saying that they've got this. They just need to reset the grind and that, and don't, you know, and they were complacent. In patches of that second half, hence why, you know, it's the night of the Roosters, the girls sort of came back. And that's, Yazzie is just like, yeah, I saw that face and she's just like, she's just disappointed. She's not happy. Not the way you probably want to win, just by hoping that they don't get their field goal kick over or not. Stuff like that, yeah.
It just shows the competitiveness in Yazzie. And she's also been here on Nijin Footy. So if anyone wanted to hear her interview, you can find that wherever you get your podcasts. Let's talk about the game of the round in two sleeps time, where you take on the West Tigers, take on the Raiders. How are you feeling? How's the prep been this week? The blood must be, you know, warming up, ready to fire.
Shelley's tipped the Raiders to go far in this competition as well. That's what she said on Monday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's got a lot of raps on the Raiders, so that's why T said this is the game of the round with the new pack of the Tigers and the Raiders.
So what do you make of this
that
one, Tyler?
That burns me. That riles me up. Like, oh my gosh. Anything, like, I try to stay off social media and stuff, and if once I see one little thing or hear a little thing, that like, really gets me tunneled vision, like, just go, yeah, just want to do my job and just, yeah, knock the front door down. So
that's it.
Thanks, boys.
Oh, there's that little bit of motivation. And what murder shows have you been watching beforehand? So like you get you pumped up even more.
I've been watching Chinese like murder shows.
Yeah,
you're
my
like
wife's
that,
watching
like
the same one.
Okay, probably, yeah. Yes. I'll probably start speaking Chinese in our next show, boys. It is Nijin Footy. It's all cultures we can, you know, embrace. So yeah, I'm really excited. Man, I'm really pumped for my girls, and I'm not like trying to speak over it, but obviously I was absent for 5 weeks of those pre-seasons, but the girls, man, just coming back into the team and just seeing how strong, I think I touched on this last week, the girls hit some PBs in the gym and on the field, and you just know they're getting stronger and fitter, and we're definitely going into this round with a lot more confident pack. We do have some debutants, but they are well-deserved ones as well, and this doesn't, like, obviously exclude any of our teammates that we still have with us, but they even acknowledge these girls that are about to debut. Like, we call them the big dogs and that. They're girls like Tara Ranky and Diane McGlone. Also, you've got Natasha Panatani. She's definitely some, and Harmony Crichton. I'm just excited for these girls. And pre-seasons, obviously, it's nice to know that's done and we've done all the prep we can, but this week's just purely focusing on our game plan against the Raiders girls. And last year we actually lost to the Raiders girls in our regular round game, and we just lost to them in that last end of the game, and we just know that we've got what it takes to beat them, and we've tidied up some things to hopefully stop them from executing their game plan. But we just said stay in the grind, you know, cycle of pressure, just keep repeating that, and just, yeah, hopefully we're not the ones to break first on Sunday afternoon.
Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And like you noticed with the Roosters, let's go forward before you go sideways. Stick to your guns and knock the front door down. So all the best this weekend. Looking forward
Thank
to watching
you.
That one. Now, what other games are you looking forward to watching in the NRLW this weekend?
The Cowboys and Sharks game.
Oh, yes. I just previewed the men's games. There's a couple good matchups. And is this a doubleheader?
So it is a double header. The girls are playing first thing. Oh, it's early in the morning. I think it's been a while since we've had an NRLW game played this early, but given a double header, that's what the time the girls will have to play at Shark Park. So, yeah, I spoke to a lot of the Sharks girls that were in Origin Camp 2, and they were looking forward to this game, especially being a home game as well. And what better way to do it being a doubleheader of the boys? So, great way to also reward their fans and that. I know that they have such a cool fan base, and they get around the girls really strong as well, same as they do with the boys. So, yeah, exciting times for them.
Who are you tipping for this one?
Oh, I'm probably going to go with the Sharks, girls. I've grown so close with Tiana Panatani and Emma Tonegado and my own roomie in Origin, Ellie Johnson. I'm probably going to like this game. If you don't realise, you've got Kira Deeb, Ja'Kai Whitfield and Ellie Johnson. So those were the three players. So in the Origin series, in all three games, those were the three players that were sitting reserve. So you can imagine how hard it would have been for those players to not be able to pull on the jersey, but the fire that would have lit inside of them to want to go back, rip into the season, and then hopefully put that jersey on for 2025 Origin Series. I'm so proud that those were the three players we had, because just the way they held themselves, always getting around like us as if they were the ones playing, those games. So, yeah, I can't wait to see those girls thrive in this game on Saturday. I know that they've been working really hard and their feet's been itching. So, yeah. So I'm backing the Sharks.
The Sharkies. The Sharkies.
Up Cronulla.
Well, look, you've got Taylor Preston, who's named as the first Bulldogs NRLW inaugural player signing. This season being her last of the Sharks, no doubt she would have made a pledge to herself to give everything she can for the Sharks girls. She's been there for a while after she won a Harvey Norman premiership with the Tigers. She's sort of stuck with the Sharks since, but even before she was at Tigers, she was with the Sharks. So she's been a big name and a player in itself for the Sharks. I know that the girls are probably going to want to get around her, but also more around each other to hopefully get her that, the same goal everyone's after, a premiership, and probably see her off to the Bulldogs really well. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Anything else?
Yeah, probably an Asian, but you want to look out for is Vitalina Nikora. So she's the winger for the Cowboys, and she's won back-to-back Super W premierships with the Fijian Jurors. And she's probably been a mainstay on the wing for the Cowboys since joining them last year. I remember playing against her from experience, and she's tough and footwork quick. So I'm excited just to see her own. She's only had one NRLW experience under her belt, and that's all it takes for someone to go to the next level. So I'm keen to see her, how she goes. You've got Kiwi Ferns representative Harata Butler. She's a former Sharks NRLW player from last year, now at the Cowboys. It's on a 2-year deal. Big move for Harata. But speaking to some of her teammates, they say she's been a leader for their young heads during their preseason, no doubt. Keen to see how she goes when she comes off the bench. You got Vanessa Biddle. She's Dally M NRLW Rookie of the Year last year, Māori representative, and she dominates in the centres really well. But you can probably say she plays anywhere, any position, with her style of running. She runs like a bloody middle for playing on an outside, on an edge. So hard to handle, and keen to see how Nessa goes. Those are my Asian players that I'm keen to see and how they go on Saturday.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Salah. And again, all the best this Sunday. Ripping to them Raiders girls, and I'm looking forward to hearing how that game went next Friday.
Thank you.
Yeah, go well, Salah.
Culture Shock.
Yes, we have Culture Shock. Last week we went to the Kingdom of Tonga and we learnt about the flag. Today we go back to T's homeland, the Cook Islands. What have you got for me?
Yes. Well, you already know a couple. The highest... there's no building taller than the...
Coconut tree.
Tallest coconut tree, yes. And there is only one main road around Rarotonga, and there's one road inside, like an inland road that goes, yeah, parallel to the outside road. The local transport, two buses.
Just two?
Two buses. One goes clockwise, one goes anti-clockwise. That was another culture shock, but I thought I would speak on my own experiences moving from New Zealand at the time, and then I lived 1 year in the Cook Islands as a child, and it was around 1998, 1999. Times have changed since then, but Jesus, there was a lot of things that shocked me about my culture, the differences and things that I had to adjust to as a young child. And I think quite visual one, when you first go onto the island and you're driving along the roads, you see the family members that have passed away buried on the land. So they're not in a cemetery, they're buried on your land next to the family houses. So you're driving past graves.
So in the front yard. So it's
on the front yards, built on the land. And then I learned later that you can't sell your land. The land has to be passed on through your family. You can lease your land, and I think it's a maximum of like 50 or 99 years you can lease your land out, but you're not allowed to sell it. It stays within the family.
I find it pretty hard to buy a bit of land if there was someone buried in my front yard. Mm. So that's interesting. I know some of the other island nations do the same thing. But wow, interesting.
But my biggest shock.
Oh, that's not it.
No. Oh, so my biggest shock, the thing that I remembered as a child was, when you go there, you go swimming, you play marbles. This was back in the late 90s, so we're playing marbles, cards with my mum's mum. And, you're doing housework, you're doing chores, you're cleaning the yards, you're feeding the pigs, you're feeding the chickens. But on Sundays, you weren't allowed to do anything. You had in the Bible, it said God rested on the seventh day after his week of work. So in the Cook Islands, we weren't allowed to play marbles. We weren't even allowed to go swimming.
I was going
to
ask that swimming is a no-no as well, isn't it?
It was boiling hot, yeah. You weren't allowed to go swimming back then. Times have changed, but you weren't allowed to go swimming. We might go down there, just go and, get our bodies in there, but we weren't allowed to jump or make loud noises. Weren't allowed to do any housework. The seventh day was a day for rest. And that was one thing I had to adjust to pretty quick, especially when it was hot and my mind was, as a young kid, just wanted to play and get out there.
I would have copped the hiding, I reckon. I would have just gone in there looking at that blue water like, nah, I'm in. And then whatever the outcome was from it, I would have just copped it. Did you do that? Were you that naughty boy that just jumped in and then copped it after it?
It was more yelling from the locals.
Oh, yeah. Shush.
So we'd go church in the morning, come back home, and then, there was no playing. If we did play, we'd get yelled from the neighbours or the locals.
Oh, unreal, unreal shock, tea. Yeah. There was a few in there, actually, not just the one. There was 400. How good. So where are we off to next week?
I think let's go to your second home, Fiji. Bring something home from.
To all my Fijians out there, perfect. I'll bring something for you for that one.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby and Queensland Reds legend, also former Ikaletahi Tongan coach, Totai Kefu. Kefs, where's the jersey, mate? Back-to-back weeks,
boys.
Surely.
I got sick after I wore that jersey, and I spent a couple of days in bed after that, so I've burnt the jersey. I won't ever do that again.
Oh, the disrespect.
The disrespect on my New South Wales Blues mates. Well, because let's start with the Olympic Sevens. What did you make of the pool stages for Fiji and Samoa?
Jeez, well, unbelievable. I thought Australia's got through Samoa. A bit disappointing, I think, but they had their chances. Fiji, geez, I watched their game this morning and they got through. So they've got a semi-final clash, I think, tomorrow with the Australian team. They're looking pretty good, I reckon, with a bit of luck. When you get to the finals, the pool stages are tough. But when you get to the finals, rankings go out the window. Anything can happen, especially with these teams. And they play each other so much now throughout the year and on the seventh circuit. Anything can happen. And in the other semi-final, New Zealand bowed out. They lost to who'd they lose to? They lost to South Africa.
Yeah, yep.
In the quarters. So South Africa play France. France, tough to beat on home soil, but I'm hoping, I'm going for a Fiji-French final.
Ooh.
And, yeah, I hope Fiji win, but I think France will be hard to beat at home.
Yeah, 69,000 people each day so far. It's been electric, the atmosphere looks amazing. And you're right with that Fijian flair. They've probably had the worst World Series campaign leading into the Olympics. But they're on fire at the moment. Hey, Kef, you know when the Fijians are in the mood to defend, which they have in those games, they're putting on shots, the other parts of their game seems like it flows naturally.
Yeah, look, I thought they were outstanding this morning. And Ireland aren't... The game went into overtime, and Ireland got a bit of possession. They went into overtime, and they defended unbelievable. Mate, those blokes are fit. Hey, how fit are they? Like, I remember when we used to play sevens. No one tackled back then in sevens, and it was all about just running into space. If someone got near you, just throw the ball away. geez, the ruck and the contest of the ruck now is absolutely brutal. You've absolutely got to be bloody fit and you've got to be on your game. But, yeah, I thought Fiji did well. They're defending well. And, you know, they've got a little bit of momentum. They're always going to be a challenge in any finals.
Now, the Fijians are on fire. Their strength is playing on their feet and getting a lot of those offloads away. Some of the tries that they've scored in the lead-up in the pool stages, unbelievable. Some notable players to look out for as well for Australia: Dietrich Roach, Samoan Heritage, he's been on fire, and also Mark Nwanganituwase. But Kev's moving over to Tonga. We've got the Reds. Your Queensland Reds are over there. Both the men's and the females are over there playing against Tonga. You know, what have you made from the content that you've seen and the lead up to this game?
Yeah, look, well, I mean, let's talk about their last game. They lost to Spain last week, which was really disappointing. They had a decent team as well. I thought that was a game they should have won. So they'd be really disappointed with that. You know, obviously they had Italy the week before, Spain, and they got the Reds. So this clump of games, I really, probably Spain's the only game they probably should have won. They're going to go into now the PNC. Probably, I don't think they're going to beat the Reds, especially with the team that they picked for today. There's about five or six local players, and the rest of the players are really Tongarei kind of backup players. So it's going to be tough to beat the Reds. So I'm pretty confident they'll lose today. So they'll lose three games going into the PNC. Probably not the best build-up, but like I said, they probably should have beaten Spain. Look, the hardest thing I think for De Vita and Nili, and they're both co-head coaches, from what I'm hearing, they're running everything. I think the biggest challenge for those guys are getting the players through the door, especially the quality players playing in Europe, the Super Rugby players. So, you know, the players that are playing for Moana, I haven't seen them except for probably Malachi Fekitoa, Ben Tamafuna. There's the Inisi boys from Moana. Fetuli Baya, they're the top line players that are probably the number one ranked players that should be playing for Tonga. I don't know what's happened to Charlie Puitals and those type of players. I'm sorry, Adam Coleman did play last week, so that's the biggest challenge for De Vita and Nili, is getting those players back on track. Now, we've got the PNC coming up. I don't know who's going to play for Tonga during that championship. So hopefully those players come back, because I think we need a really strong team and we need to be competitive for that PNC.
Mate, one question from me. You're a Queensland Reds legend, Tongan legend. How are you not over there watching the game?
I actually did get
You didn't get on the junket. No junket for Kev.
Well, I had to do the radio show.
That's oh, of course. Cool. Yeah, there it is. No, he's like, quick.
I'm
he's
not
quick.
Like other people who are lying around, go to Fiji and lie around the pool and just hand it over. I've got responsibilities.
So you're saying that when you go to Japan, you'll be good to take our calls in Japan?
Hey, of course.
Yeah,
of
there course. Is. There's commitment
I'll
there.
Shut the program down over there just to do the radio.
He's also saying his wife never let him go over there. That's why.
Look, the Reds will be too good. They've got a decent team, and they've had a really good build-up. Basically, it's been, apart from one or two changes, it was the same team that played against Wales last week. And they've got a lot of depth there. And you can see the quality of the players in that Reds lineup. They should be too good for Tonga.
I wish you were over there with your good mate George Smith. He's being treated like the king over there, going around doing the royal wave to the schools. But what a build-up, you know, having someone like him go over there, special occasion, running some clinics. You know, for the people of Tonga, when they see guys like George Smith, see guys like yourself, you know, what does that mean for the community over in Tonga when they get to see their heroes?
Oh, it's great to mix in with the public, and I've done this with the Kalitahi team in the last couple of years. Kids that come up to you, you know, they see you on TV, but even their parents, they see you 10, 20 years ago playing on TV, but to talk to you and to touch you, it's fantastic for them. I saw some pictures of actually Georgie doing some coaching clinics, and he has put on a bit of weight, the big fella. I think he's been eating the pigs and the chickens over there. That's one thing you got to be wary of, but great for him to go over there because, you know, he did a year at DePoe College. George, he's got an interesting story, actually. He got sent to a year at DePoe College and
Was he quite naughty here? Is that right? Was he quite naughty? Is that why he got sent over?
He was a naughty boy in Manly. I think he grew up in Manly and his parents sent him to DePoe College. And if you've heard about DePoe College, it's like the prison system in Australia is better than DePoe College dormitory.
Oh, I've heard those stories at DePoe College there. My father-in-law, a lot of my uncles went there and they just talk about all they ate. When they look at a piece of, you know, talo or manioc, they go, this is all we had in the palm of our hand to eat. And we had to go and dig it out ourselves and stuff. My cousin went there. He said, I sent him over some footy boots and he would lock that in his little toolbox. He had a key. Put his footy boots in there, and he'd wear his footy boots out into the fields and start, digging up the manioc and the dalo because they were going to get stolen. So it's tough, you said, the prison system.
It is. It is. All I heard was stories of them kids were starving every day.
Oh, man, I'd love to see it over there. The Reds, obviously, that game's going to be played. I'm sure Del Favor will be going off, especially with both games, with the men's and the females. But we touched on Tonga's performance. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the Pacific Island rugby teams ahead of the Pacific Nations Cup before they lead into it in August. You know, you've already mentioned some of Tonga's performances, but let's go back to that with what you saw so far, just in terms of the way that Tonga's playing. Are you seeing some clear systems or the clear style of play that's probably different to when you were coaching?
Look, I think it's the way they've been playing. It's been quite messy. There's been a lot of handling errors. I think if you look at Tonga's profile, we've always tried to play around a forward-dominated game plan, really, really unbelievable set piece and then just get forwards winning collisions, getting around the corner. That's our bread and butter, right? So there's no need to probably steer away from that. I think we try to implement a bit of a game plan where we play simple game plan, play in the right parts of the field, have a really strong set piece and then just win collisions coming around the corner, really rely on quick ball. And I think they're not going to stray too far from that type of game plan. I mean, you have a look at some of the Tongan players and the profile of them, like athletic, big, getting around the corner, winning those shoulder battles. So they're not going to stray too far from that. And we got big centres as well that can initiate that first phase contact and win that quick ball.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the high-profile players. Who are some of the key players for the Kalitahi?
Well, Nani Laumapi becomes available this year. So I haven't heard or seen of him being mentioned playing in the PNC. Obviously, you got Charles Puitau. You got Peter Arkey, who's just won another championship with Toulouse. They're your centres. George Moala, you'd probably throw in the mix. We've always I really like the young outside backs, that Fine Inisi that plays for Moana, that young Kyron Taumalolau, he's coming along good. One of our issues has always been fly half. Willie Havili is slowly getting there, but probably still open to making a lot of mistakes. So we keep developing him. Yeah, it's probably, I think if you look ahead, so the World Cup's in two more years in Australia, there's probably got to be a changeover of the guard, so to speak. Like the Ben Tamifunas might last. He's going to be mid-30s. But certainly, you know, Tane Takalua, who hasn't been involved, they'll have to. There's some good little halfbacks there. So, if they can get, like I said, mentioned earlier, if they can get access and get those players in, awesome. That'll be great for us. But then again, it's spending that time together, which has always been a challenge for Tonga. And I've mentioned this a heap of times on the program. Spending the time together with your best team is crucial for Tonga.
Man, if we can get Lamape, that's a massive get. When you mentioned all those other names, there's so many quality players within that Tongan team.
Fekitoa,
they're like, you know, he's obviously playing now, and then the depth in those positions is amazing. But you're right, it's just that cohesion. How do they put that together so they can, you know, be consistent throughout 80 minutes and then back it up the following week and not have those dips in performances? Like, it's huge. In the Pacific Nations Cup, what would you, you know, from the form that they've shown with the players that they have, what would you consider like a pass mark for them?
Wow, so we've got Japan, Samoa and Fiji in our pool. You know, you would think looking at form, Fiji probably it's definitely the highest ranked team out of those four teams. Look, I think if you can snag a win over Japan or Samoa and be competitive in the other games, I think that's a pass mark for this group, especially for the coaching group. Then they go into the Europe season, and I think they got Romania, Georgia, USA. They're three games we can win. I think Georgia is going to be the toughest out of those games. If we can win two out of those three, I think that's a good year for the Kalitahi. And then we rebuild, have a look at our player depth for next year, and we've just got to keep getting better and better.
Now, hopefully they can do pretty well. And as you said, Fiji is going to be strong. Samoa looks sharp in those two games. So next week, we'll definitely highlight one of the other Pacific Island teams ahead of the Pacific Nations Cup and get your thoughts there. But as always, thank you so much for your insights, mate. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Pleasure, guys. Keep up the good work.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Is the professor on next week? Monday?
He is on Monday, yes.
Yeah, yep. He's covering me.
Yep.
I hope he answers your Nisha knowledge questions.
Next two Mondays he's on.
Yeah, I hope he back-to-back, does so well in Nisha knowledge.
Let it go, mate.
Anyways, it's Professor
Paulo.
He's
only got 1.5 points.
This is where we answer one of his questions. We keep a score throughout the season, and the loser at the end of the season will be buying the winner a fancy lunch.
So it is T, you're on 8.5, and I'm in the lead with 10 for this one.
All right, so first
what have we
answer,
got for us?
Go. This one's a true or false question, and when we up the stakes, because you could easily just say Sam and just say true and just hope 50-50. So if you get it wrong, the other person gets
the point.
Point.
Oh, without fair enough. That makes sense.
So easy. Let's go.
With the Olympics commencing last night and Australia versus Samoa kicking it off in the sevens, true or false question, Fiji has won 3 medals, two in the sevens and one in judo.
Go false. False, surely they didn't get a medal in judo.
I think you're right there, eh?
I think they've only won
two medals in rugby. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
And the answer to that question is false. They've only won two medals in the sevens.
Yeah. Ooh. I heard that. Do you know what? When I was watching the sevens game, they actually mentioned that stat too, that their only medals have come from the Fijian sevens and then could go the triple threat if the men get over the line again. So... well done for that easy question,
I'm pretty
T.
Sure
yeah,
we would
good
have
stuff,
spoke
mate.
About the Fijian judo person somewhere.
Somewhere.
If they had won a medal. So, never heard of a Fijian judo man.
Rubbish question, Seth. Let's move on.
Great work. Knockout
Look
Tippy.
Look how happy he is, eh?
Knockout just, Tippy. Let's go.
It's when it works in his favour. Look at him gloating.
Hey, I did offer you the chance to get a point, but I just got the question right.
What are we on for knockout tipping?
Let's get her.
Knockout tipping time.
Yeah, this is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds, and we can't pick them again. The score is 29-23. I'm just going off the run sheet here, but we have to pick them again because it's restarted.
No,
so.
I was laughing at the score. I'm on 29, you're on 23.
Oh, wow. That's a blowout.
We've even tried to even it up a fair bit throughout the season. But anyways, I was 2 from 2 last week.
I was done from 2 last week.
And I was messaging you throughout the Warriors-Canberra game because you picked the Warriors. They almost got there, but missed
I'm not here to throw stones at Tevita Harris. Man, I would not be able to throw that over with that pressure with the kick. But anyway.
Yeah, and if you are throwing stones, man, you go out there and have a crack.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. What games have you got this week?
I have. Are we going to start with league or union?
We'll go league.
We'll go league. League. Who are the Tigers playing?
Of course, you're going the. I need to start following your league.
Who are the Tigers playing, mate? It just seems
who
like
are the Tigers
things
playing?
Are happening over there. You know,
yeah, a bit of turmoil off field.
Englishmen's off to Warrington for the rest of the season. John Bateman, with Doika Manus. There's rumours that
he's off.
He may be off. He may be staying.
Senior players getting treated like.
I know that they're...
Rookie players, apparently.
Well, that's just what the media is saying, but I know they'll be in a different position next year when they get Sunia Turuva and Jerome and the rest. But be going whoever Tigers are playing. Who are the...
Warriors.
The Warriors, all right.
Oh, over in New Zealand as well.
I don't care where they're playing. It could be Campbelltown. Leichhardt.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going the Warriors this week.
Oh man, the Warriors have been disappointing this year, but they're probably going to win this one. I am going to always go the challenge and choose the hardest game. One of the hardest games. I want to go the Broncos over the Dogs up at Suncorp.
That's not hard.
Broncos, the Broncos over the Dogs.
You're going
Dogs.
The Bulldogs over the
no,
Broncos.
No, Broncos over the Dogs up in Brisbane.
That's a challenge.
That's a challenge. No.
Broncos ain't a challenge, surely. They're ready to come back.
Nah, Broncos, that's my game, so I'll be choosing that one. And
you don't want to go Bulldogs, don't you? Nah. You're a Bulldogs fan?
All right, but I can't choose them. I already chose them.
All right.
And so Rugby Union.
So you're going Broncos. Rugby Union. Well, let's pick a game, and we'll pick one team each. I reckon we go with the big one. Fiji versus Australia in the Olympic Sevens.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Semi-final. I'll go Fiji.
Of course you are. Of course you're going.
Oh, I thought you'd just go Australia.
Where were you born?
Were you born in Australia?
You choose first.
I don't know if you were born in Australia or Fiji. Which one?
Mate, 29, 23, you go first.
All right. Who do you want to go? I'll let you go.
If I go Australia, can I have a 5 point, 5.5 head start?
5.5.
I think it'll be tight.
What was the last scores? That's tight. I'll give you a 3.5.
All right. I'll take that.
3.5. So Fiji to win, they're more than 3.5 on me.
Yeah, okay.
Remember, Fiji have never won an Olympic, never lost an Olympic game.
I know. Could be their time up. Some good runs need to come to an end, but... Like our show today, that's our time up for Nijan Footy Friday. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcast.
I'll see you next Friday. Sammy Ka Kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.